Welcome back. We're so glad you're listening and engaging with us. This series is titled Exponential. So hold on to your hats because this series is the vision series of 2024. God gave us a prophetic word of exponential growth, not just for the church, but for all of us. So be encouraged and listen in.
Who's excited to embrace the word of God today? Is there anybody? Is there anybody? Oh, my. I hope you are. Because here we are. I need to pray that I find the right password again. What's going on? People, who's changed my password? Just want you to know. I mean, some of you people may think, you know, why is Pastor picking on Stephen? I'm not picking on Stephen. I don't do that. Stephen and I are going on a camping trip together. We're going to spend some intimate time together. And because Stephen loves camping. And, sorry? Not in this lifetime? Stephen. All right, we're going to a 5-star resort, and it's all inclusive, because that's the way we roll. That's the way we roll. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, we're in a sermon series called Exponential. Can you say exponential? How many are like, what is that word? I never used that word before. You should use that word, because the blessing of the Lord in your life is exponential. I'm telling you, we borrowed this tag off back last year when Rob DeLuca, who's a prophetic guy, was here. He was just visiting. He was just in the congregation, and he couldn't help himself. He says, "Man, can I bring a word?" And he said, "Man, there is exponential blessing on this house. There's exponential blessing on the people in this house." And so he just couldn't help himself, but he said, "I tell you, you guys are going to experience in 1 year what it usually takes 10 years to experience." So I reckon that we should preach about that, because to bring that into manifestation, all you got to do is say amen. And so we want to say a big amen over that by starting the year with a whole series about being exponential and experiencing exponential growth in every aspect of our lives. So we're believing for that. So this is the last one. Next week, we're going to move into a series on relationships. Does anybody have a relationship? Does anybody have a relationship that's gone a bit weird and creepy? Has anybody ever had a weird, creepy relationship? Do you have a pulse? Okay. All right, we're going to talk about relationships. We're going to do a series on relationships. It's Valentine's Day coming up this week, and then we got Family Day and things going on. So it's a good time. I want you to come and enjoy all of those. Actually, Pastor Cheryl and I are going to, right in front of the congregation, we're going to sit with a Christian therapist. And right in front of you guys, we're going to invite you into the deepest, dark secrets of our lives. Woo! It's not that exciting, Sean. But well, we really are. We're gonna do some interesting things, and because I tell you, struggles people have. How many people struggle with people, and it takes up a lot of space in our heads sometimes. So we want to talk about how we can. We're gonna talk about marriage. It's gonna talk about different relationships, and it's gonna be fun. We're gonna have a good time. But today I want to finish off our series on exponential. And look, I want to say one thing to you. Ready? I got one thing to say to you. God has blessed you. This morning I was typing out my notes and I put, "God will bless you." And I said, "That's not true." I mean, God has blessed you. It's not somewhere out in the future. It's not someday. Trust me, someday you're going to experience this blessing. I want you to know right now, God has blessed you. He is blessing you. You are blessed. You are sloppily provided for. You are liberally baptized in the deep zone of God's favor. That's really, really true. As I'm going to share with you some stuff today, and I pray, Holy Ghost, that this gets deep into our spirits and can never be shaken loose. And I pray that this revelation would just get so deep and bear incredible fruit for your honor and your glory in Jesus' name. So God has blessed you. John 10:10 says, "I have come." This is Jesus. Jesus, why did you come? "I have come, and I have come that they might have life." And that life is not bios. That life is Zoe. And the Zoe is not a bios kind of life. It's the God kind of life. It's the God kind of life that is ridiculously blessed with favor and nurtured with supernatural things. So God has come, Jesus has come, that you might have life. And not that you would have it every once in a while or spooned out a little bit or if you deserve it today. Every once in a while, oh, boo, you've been good. I'm going to throw you a little biscuit. Every single day, there is an unbelievable liquid flow of God's favor running towards you. Jesus came that you might have a life and that you might have it abundantly, superfluously, that you might have it in an overflowing fashion where you cannot separate yourself from the unprecedented flow of His favor. Deeply trying to say something. Did Jesus come? Does anybody know? Did Jesus come? He did. He really did. It's a historical fact. We actually used to separate time based on before His birth and after His death. It was B.C. and A.D. I mean, Jesus was a central figure. History was defined by the life of Christ, that He came and that He did what He said He did. So Jesus came, and I'm telling you, it is for you to have and to walk in full-blown blessing today. Galatians chapter 3, 13 and 14, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. Deuteronomy, you can go in there in verse 28, it talks about all the curses. They're all listed. You can look at all those things. I mean, one of the things is botch. I always wondered what botch was. Had to look it up. It was some kind of skin disorder, but I want to know the stuff that I'm free from. In case botch ever shows up, and you say, botch, you have no place in me, because Jesus has redeemed me from the curse of the law. So if you have botch today, command the botch to go in the name of Jesus, because He's redeemed you from botch. Amen. That was for somebody. I know it was for somebody. Somebody. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs in a tree. What is He saying? Jesus took a curse. That was the problem. It's a problem even today with the Jews, that how could Jesus be the Messiah when He did such a horrible thing? Because cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So, I mean, that guy cannot be the Messiah. He's a complete mess. I mean, only losers get put up there. Cursed is he who hangs on a tree. But you see, Jesus became the curse for us, that we might walk in righteousness. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That, so why did He hang on the tree? Hung on the tree that the blessing of Abraham. Say that with me. The blessing of Abraham. He did that. Well, what's the cross all about? Why did He do that? Well, the scripture says that He did that so that you could have the blessing of Abraham. Then I reckon I need to know what the blessing of Abraham is. If that's what I get because of what He did, I should understand it and walk in it. Can I get an amen? All right. So the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through effort, good works, and acts of ridiculous kindness. By good behavior and being wonderfully moralistic people. You see, the blessing of the Lord comes on you through faith, because it's only the grace of God that qualifies you to experience the blessing of God. So it's His kindness and His goodness. Genesis chapter 12. Let's go then and find the Abraham. Julie was doing the offering teaching. She didn't know what I was sharing on. The worship team didn't know what I was sharing on. And yet all these songs, everything, it all points to the wonderful way that God has richly and lavishly provided for us. Genesis 12, 2, we see that Abraham, he's a idolatrous guy who worshiped pagan gods and things. And then God Himself, God Almighty, spoke to him and says, I want you to leave where you are. I want you to come with me. And I want to, through you, I want to demonstrate my kindness. I am going to begin something fresh in the earth through you, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pour my goodness and my kindness on you, and through you, all the nations are going to get a revelation of me, and through you and through my acts of blessing you, the world is going to see, every nation is going to see, every nation will experience the blessing of God through you, Abraham. That's the blessing God wants to put on Abraham. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Abraham, God Almighty, I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Amen. Amen. So, listen, we're going to go to Genesis 15, and I'm going to say something here that I want you to see. If you embrace the revelation of Genesis 15, you will have a complete grasp of the core purpose of the Bible. Let me say that again. Because I want you to really understand. I really mean this. It's not just something on the slide. Who would like to have a clear grasp of the purpose of the book? How many would like to have a clear revelation of the story and why the story was given? What is this all about? If you can understand the revelation in Genesis 15, you can have a full grasp of the purpose of God. Wow. And it's not really a very long chapter. It's fairly short. But you can have a clear revelation of God's purpose. You will be seized. You will seize a thorough understanding of the gospel. Grace. Grace. Say grace.
Grace.
And we're going to do that today, and I hope you do that. I pray Holy Spirit would help me, that you would get a seed, something sown in your heart today that you'll never be able to shake, and you get a revelation of the goodness of God, a revelation of the gospel, because this is a thorough expression of the gospel. In Genesis 15, 1 and 2, God visits Abraham. He visited him in chapter 12, and he spoke to him, told him that through you, you're going to have children, you're going to have offspring, and through you, I'm going to fill the earth with my goodness. You're going to have the earth. Like, it's just amazing how you're going to multiply on every side, and you're going to see blessings. So here we are 10 years later, and Abraham's getting older. We're 10 years later, Abraham's getting older, and he does not have a child. In fact, he decided that, well, maybe we should try something else. Well, it wasn't him, it was his wife. His wife said, maybe we should give it a go with my servant lady. And so he said, let's try that out. And she got pregnant, had a child, and then Sarah was upset. Sarai at the time, Sarai was upset with Abram and said, Abram, what's the deal here? I mean, why'd you do that? Well, you told me to do it. But you see, he tried to manufacture the blessing of God. He tried to work it up. He tried to, through his own flesh, he tried to bring about the purpose of God. And there's a lot of people try to do that. You think through your own effort you can manifest the favor and purpose of God, but you can't. It's grace, all grace, and it's grace through faith that it might only be grace. Abram, I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, wow, that's fantastic. I'm so happy you're here. He said, Lord, what will you give me seeing I go childless? Lord, where's the beef? Where's the promise? I've been 10 years holding on to this promise, and I've had nothing but frustration. Where's the beef? Seeing I go childless, 10 years, Abraham waiting for the promise, but God confronts his doubts by repeating the promise. So you know what, when you can't see the promise manifest in your life, I love that. You may not see it, but it's actually climbing the mountain on the other side. I love that. That was good, Julie. Wasn't that good? You may not see it, but God's at work in your situation because you are blessed. God has blessed you. Look in the mirror every day and say, look at you. Blessed of God. Yeah. And it's the truth. You are blessed. You really are. So God confronts your doubt and your fear by reaffirming and announcing again the promise. So when you're not manifesting the promise, you say, God, where's the promise? He says, here's the promise. And he'll announce that right back in your face. If you're looking for healing, you say, where's the healing? You are the God who heals me. Where's the healing? I am the Lord who heals you. That's it. That's all you got. That's all you need. I am the Lord who heals you. He is the Lord who heals you. And you know what? Trust him. Believe in him. He's going to bring it to pass because you are blessed. Now, Genesis 15, 5 and 6, he says, then he brought him outside and he said, look now. You see, Abraham was in the tent of his own experience. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I get frustrated, I withdraw to the tent of my own experience. I pull into my little pup tent of frustration and I sit there and I... You know what? God, first of all, he says, first of all, Abraham, come out here. Quit sitting under the limitations of your own ponderings, your own thinkings. Come out from your own, you know, determinations of what's really going on. I want you to come out of what you think is possible, and I want you to step into the vastness of who I am. I want you to leave the canopy of your ability, and I want you to step into the canopy of my supernatural ability. And he said, I want you, and we said that today, I'm looking up, I'm looking away, I'm looking. You see, I'm looking to, where does your help come from? It comes from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. God, it says in Isaiah 40, I think 13, it says, God holds the universe in the span of his hand. I mean, the universe. I mean, the Milky Way is thousands of light years long, and yet God holds the whole universe in the span of his hand. And God wants you to come out and look at how incredibly vast he is, how big he is. He wants you to introduce your problem to the unlimited scope of God's power and blessing. And we got to do that. There's times you got to come out of that negative experience and you got to look to God. He said, look now toward the heaven and count the stars if you were able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed. Right there, he came out of his pup tent. He looked up and he saw it, and he saw the vastness of God. And right there, it says he believed. And as Pastor John was here last week, he said the word amen. And that's exactly what this word is. The Hebrew word he believed is amen. Amen. When he stood there and he looked at the vastness of God, he came out of his doubt and his fears, and he stood under the vast canopy of God's riches and grace. He looked at it and he said, I believe. Amen. And that's all you got to do. He said, amen, in the Lord. And he accounted him to righteousness. It was accounted. His belief, he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Now, when something shows up in the Bible once, that's awesome. When it shows up twice, that's great. When it shows up three times, you better pay attention. But it shows up four times, we wonder, wow, God's really trying to get our attention. And you see, the New Covenant takes this story, and it looks at it several times. And Paul, when he wrote the book of Romans in chapter 4, he said, for what does the Scripture say? What does it say? It says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted for him as righteousness. The exact same phrase. Abraham believed God. Abraham said, amen, to the promise of God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. That word, logizomai, was credited, which means God took the vastness of his resources. God took all of his blessing, and he smacked the account of us, of Abraham. He smacked our account with all of his blessing. You might be adding up, you know, your deficiencies, your debts, your problems, your things. You might be looking at this, but God waxed that on the other side with an overwhelming manifestation of his kindness, for no other reason at all except that God loves you. And he just slams your account with a massive blessing, and it has nothing to do with your performance. It has nothing to do with except one thing. Do you believe this? Do you believe God has blessed you? Wow! God has, and not a little bit, but he's supernaturally, abundantly hit your account with his favor, his blessing, and the riches of his grace, his unmerited demonstration of his goodness. It's hit your account for one reason, because you by faith said, I believe you're that good. I believe I am to die for, and I believe you want to bless me. But churches have turned all of God, that God only responds to moralism and to good works and your effort. And if you're a good boy, he blesses you. But if you're a bad boy, he pulls away and he withdraws from you and he's distant from you. And that is rubbish. That is not the gospel. That is not the good news of Jesus Christ. He will never leave you, never forsake you, no matter what. And nothing can ever separate you from his love. So Romans takes that and it says, now to him who works, his wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. So you don't work for this. It's the grace of God. It's all the unmerited wonder fable of God. And you just say yes to the grace of God, and your account gets hit with a massive deposit. Well, it can't be that easy. It really, really is. I think that's what makes it offensive, is that it's so stinking simple. Is anybody blessed here today? I tell you, you are. Galatians 3, 6 and 7. Just as Abraham said amen, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So you mean Abraham just said, I believe your promise, and boom, all the blessing of God was his? Yes. Settle down. I know that's amazing. You mean, I just have to, like Abraham, as the child of Abraham, because it says, just like Abraham did, we do, by faith, we say, amen, to God's goodness. So that's it. Yes. Please stop. I have to finish the sermon. Please, keep it down. All right. Accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. See, some people are sitting back. They're not joining in. They're not jumping in because, well, I'm coming to church. I'd like to be a child of God. I'll hang out for a while, but, you know, I got a lot of issues. I got a lot of problems. God's not quite ready for me, and I got to get myself to the place where he'll accept me. That's religion, and that's rubbish. You could never get to the place where God will accept you on your own. Because here's the good news. God accepts you as you are, where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what's going on. You see, we think that God's love is unconditional. It is. But here's where it's unconditional. No matter what condition you're in, God still loves you. No matter what condition you were in yesterday, no matter what condition you were in the day before, no matter what condition your condition was in, God's nuts about you, loves you, and you cannot change the fact that He's for you, and all you have to do is say, amen. And it is then whacked to your account the full measure of His life, His power, His grace, His blessing. Suddenly, all the vastness of God is credited to you, and you get to live out of His vastness and not out of the limitations of what you can do. I'd say that's a really good trade, because we really get to trade up. Therefore, know that those who are of faith, they are the sons of Abraham. James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he is called the friend of God. Romans 20:21. No unbelief or distrust made him waver or doubt or question concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong. He was empowered by faith, and he gave praise to God, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do every single thing he promised. Abraham is the father of all who stand in faith. Abraham was justified not by obeying the law. He was justified by faith before the law was even given. And he was justified by faith even before circumcision. Abraham was justified by faith, and we are of our father Abraham, and we get every benefit of God simply by believing that God is that ridiculously good to me. Do you believe me? I hope you believe me. So let's go back to Genesis 15. I hope you will underline every single verse in Genesis 15. I hope you'll tag it in your Bible. I hope you'll go back to it regularly. I hope you'll stick it on your fridge. I hope you stick it somewhere where every single day you'll be reminded that God has brought you into a place of unprecedented favor. And He's done it because He alone is good, and He's nuts about you, loves you, and He's done it of Himself. It has nothing to do with you. You can't earn it by works. No one can boast. It's by grace through faith alone. Nobody can say, look what I got, because it's given to everyone freely. You've been given freely. You've received freely. Give it away. All right, now the five of you are excited. Please settle down. Genesis 15, the Lord God, how shall I know? Now, He accredited righteousness. I believe. Amen. I believe. So He's not saying I don't believe, but He's saying, how can I know? How can I know? So He's just like Mary, when the angel came and Mary, He said, you know, the Most High is going to come upon you, and you're going to, you know, bear the Son of God. You'll give birth to God's child. And Mary's like, hey, let it be unto me according to your word. So how's that going to work out anyways? Seeing I'm a virgin. Now, she had a question. It wasn't unbelief. She just said, hey, can you explain that process to me? This is Abraham. Abraham said, amen. He said, amen. He said, I believe. I believe. I align myself right now. I come under the authority of your word. Yes, Lord. So, Lord, all those nations that are in the promise that you've given me, how are we going to move them out? Like, how are you going to give me that land? He said, tell me how. And he said, I want you to know. The Lord God said, how? He said, how shall I know that I will inherit? And he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer. How will I know, Lord? Bring me a three-year-old heifer. Oh, okay. Bring me a three-year-old female goat. All right. And bring me a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon. Then he brought all these to him, and then he cut them in two. He cut them in two. So how many just love that when we come, it's nice and clean, it's a nice chairs to sit on, it's all lovely, sound systems, lights, it's all good. No bloody messes, you know? Well, you see, when you're going to have encounters with God in the Old Covenant, this wasn't necessarily God's idea, but this is the way they did things in Abraham's culture. So he was speaking Abraham's language. So he's speaking to Abraham, get me these things. And they went, ah, okay. Abraham understood, we're going to cut a deal. God's going to cut a deal. So he understood covenant. You see, I sold a house and bought a house, and I had to sign paper saying, when I get the money for that house, I'll give you for the money for that house. I promise to do that. I promise there's no liens on my house. I promise there's nothing there. I had to sign all kinds of stuff to promise. Back then, they didn't sign stuff. Back then, they took animals and cut them in half. That's how they signed the deal. So they're making a deal. They're making a covenant. The word covenant means a berith. It means to cut. So how would you like to come to church and bring that cow with you. Has anybody seen a cow? Anybody seen a cow? Anybody touched a cow? Has anybody cut a cow in half? I mean, how do you like to come to church and you get to see, wow, that guy had a rough week. Look at all the sacrifices he's bringing. My God. I mean, holy God, I don't know what he did, but he's got like 10 cows. You know, we don't have to do that. Isn't that great? I mean, well, that seems like a weird, creepy religion. What a bloody mess. But you see, this made perfect sense to Abraham. So Abraham had to cut all of these animals in half, and he had to put one side here, so he could provide a walk of blood. You see, the way it was, life is in the blood. So when you do the walk of blood, what you're saying is, I have committed to this. May it be unto me as is done to these animals. When I do this walk of blood, I am saying that I will keep my word, and if I don't keep my word, let it be done to me what was done to these animals. Let me be cut. Let me be torn open. Let me be rendered hopeless and useless if I don't honor the promise I make to you today. Do you understand? We just throw promises around, we just sign contracts, and then we call the lawyers to figure it out. But there, it was life for life. So Abraham was like, wow, okay, God. Now in their culture, a superior would make a deal with an inferior, and what they would do is they would make the inferior and walk this walk of blood, that you're going to be committed to be my servant, and you're going to commit yourself to serve me as a superior, and you're going to serve me, and you're going to keep your word to me, or it'll be done to you, just like it was done to this animal. Or if you were equals, you might say, look, I want my family and your family to make a deal. We're going to stand together with one another. And that's what happens with marriage. In marriage, we have the bride's side and the groom's side. And you come walking down the path of blood. Nobody dies. But anyways, there's two bodies of flesh on either side to witness a covenant. But the reason you're split like that and they come down an aisle is because they're doing a walk of blood. And they're saying, let it be done unto me if I don't honor my word in this relationship. May we honor the revelation of marriage, and we're going to talk about covenant next week, the covenant of marriage, the foundation of marriage. If the foundation is not there, it will not be successful. We're going to talk about the foundation of a good relationship. How many are looking forward to that? Not now, stay with me. Stay. So the walk of blood, now I want you to see something. Bring me these, and it says, boom, we're going to have this binding agreement in blood. Genesis 15, 12 to 13. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, now, no, certainly. Now I want you to know certainly. God was about to do something so that he would know with certainty that God would honor his word and that he is blessed. And every promise of inheritance, it will come to pass, because what's going to happen next is a solemn oath that I'm going to see this through. So here's what happens. Genesis 15, 17, 18. It came to pass, sun went down, darkness, behold, appeared, a smoking oven and a burning torch passed between the pieces. Well, cool. What's that, a burning oven and a smoking torch? No, you have to understand, the burning oven and smoking torch, the exact same word is used of the fire that descended upon Mount Sinai when they met to hear the Lord. The Lord descended as smoke and fire. When they said, Lord, be with us, be with us, he said, I will be with you. And the Lord was with them in smoke and fire. The smoke and fire is a type of, this is the tangible presence of God himself. So it wasn't some, you know, little pot and smoke that had no relevance. It was the person of God himself that did that walk of blood. And Abraham knew it. Everybody knew it. All the scholars know it, that what happened here was Abraham didn't go through. God went through. In fact, only God went through. Abraham did not go through. God went through, and God ended it there, and he said, that is my covenant with you. He didn't say, now you walk the walk. He said, I have done it, only I have done it, and my side is binding. May I be split in two, Abraham, if I don't keep my promise to you. And Abraham, you know the part where you've got to keep your promise? If you don't keep your promise, may I be also split in two. So I will be cut if I don't keep my word, and I will be cut if you don't keep your word. So Abraham, you can be a spectator. You can sit on the sidelines and you can watch and you can embrace my word and my promise to you. You can embrace the blessing of God for your life, because even if you fail, I will bear the punishment for that. Whoa. Two shocking observations. Abraham was a spectator, and God alone did the walk of blood. So this is the gospel. This passage, this little story, is the whole gospel. God is absolutely committed to bless me. I walk in His blessing every day. And the quality of it is the quality of God's word Himself. I am blessed. Oh God. I am blessed. I want you to look at this now. What happened? The immortal became mortal. The immutable became mutable. The infinite became finite. The powerful became powerless. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Every failing, every weakness, every grievous act, every willful act, every horrible thing that you might conjure up as being bad enough to disqualify you from His presence and His blessing, it's rubbish. Jesus took it all. He took it all. He took it all. And Isaiah prophesied about it. Isaiah wasn't there for Abraham, but he read about it and he prophesied about it. In Isaiah 58, verse 3, for He was cut off. He was cut. He was bereft. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, He was stricken. There was a very dark day when that pot, that manifestation, that fiery expression of God's tangible presence went through those animals. But there was another very, very dark day where the sun turned away and everything went black. And on that very day, in John 19, verse 30, it says, Jesus said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and He gave up His spirit. See, in Genesis 15, if you could grasp that, you can grasp the purpose the Bible was written. You can grasp the eternal purpose of God, that one little chapter, that one expression of God's covenant to Abraham. The blessing, we read three places in the New Testament where, by faith, the blessings of Abraham are ours. And what qualifies for it? God Himself has qualified us for it. Can anything disqualify you for it? No, because God has officially stamped once and for all, I have blessed you, and nothing can separate you from my love and blessing. Please settle down. That's good news. Sadly, that is the gospel. It is so simple. It's everywhere. It smites your eyes in the scripture. And yet people have such weird, conflated ideas of what it means. And they have a gospel that's focused on man instead of a gospel that looks away to a beautiful, wonderful, loving, good God who's done everything for us. Genesis 22:17. This is where Julie was reading, and she didn't even know I was going to go to Genesis 22. It's almost like God knows what He's doing when He puts our times together. It's almost. Almost. Genesis 22:17. In blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants like the stars of the heavens and like the sands of the seashore, and your seed, your heir, will possess the gate of his enemies. Hey! Your heir, seed. And you see, we are in the seed. See, it's not seeds, it's seed. I have been in Christed. I am in the seed. I've been placed in Christ. And every promise, every blessing is yes and amen in Christ. And where am I? In Christ. Because of my faith, because I said amen to the finished work of the cross, I have been in Christed, and every blessing is mine by faith, because it's all the gracious act of God. One more verse, maybe two. Maybe three. Genesis 24:1. Abraham was old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Well, who cares about Abraham? Well, you should care, because all the blessings of Abraham are yours. See, the promise is that Abraham's blessing is ours. What Jesus did, he now made it possible for us to walk in that same word that we, God wants to make you famous. God wants to change the nations through you. God wants to so desperately manifest his kindness that people are going to go, how do I explain your life? I mean, I got to know, what is it about you? Jesus. It's the gospel. It's the good news. I didn't do anything special to earn this. I just lined up with a revelation I got one day from a little fat preacher. He talked about Genesis 15. And I just simply went, thank you, Jesus. And a flow of supernatural resources, power, just demonstrations, favor, doors opening, things happening. Only for one reason, I've embraced the favor of God for my life. Abraham was blessed in all things. Last slide. Jesus Christ fulfilled the conditions of the covenant so that we could be received and blessed unconditionally. Let me read that again, just in case you weren't listening. Jesus Christ fulfilled the conditions of the covenant so that we could be received and blessed unconditionally. The beautiful thing about the gospel is you're just a spectator. He did it all. He did it all. And he still does it all. Even going forward, he does it all. He's the one who began it. He's the one who continues it. He's the one who completes it. I just keep looking to Jesus. And when I screw up, I go, did you see that? He says, I did. Is that covered? He says, it is. Well, if we say that, people start sinning. No, you won't, because the love of God will restrain you. The kindness of God will turn your heart. The goodness of God, the revelation of how much God loves you and the unconditional reality of it will change your heart once and for all. I mean, we must use the means that leads to holiness if we're serious about it. If we're serious about morality, then we should use the only thing that creates it, the only biblical thing that can cause life change and world transformation. It's the grace of God that teaches us. And yet we keep on trying to teach broken humans, you could be a better person. Let me introduce you to the better person. And let me tell you that receive the gift of righteousness, the God kind of righteousness, by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, stand up with me. Stand up with me. Why did I say that? What's that got to do? Because you're blessed. Exponentially blessed. Off the chart blessed. And you know, the hindrance to exponential blessing is the fact that we think there's a hindrance to exponential blessing. Let me repeat that again. The hindrance to exponential blessing is the fact that we think there's any hindrance to exponential blessing. You can't stop it. You can't change his mind about you ever. And nothing can separate you from his love.